Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to A Taste of the Past. I'm Linda Palacio, your host here on Heritage Radio Network, and today's program is being brought to you by White Oak Pastures. White Oak Pastures cattle are raised in a manner that has stood the test of time. It begins with southern sunshine, unpolluted country air, and fertile coastal soil. The cattle are allowed to roam the pastures and graze freely on sweet native grasses all their lives. White Oak Pastures, all-natural grass-fed beef, has been available in all of the Whole Foods stores in the Mid-Atlantic states. We hope that you'll support their program through your purchase of our beef through one of these Whole Foods stores. For more information, you can go to whiteoakpastures.com. Today, we are talking about something that is available a short time of the year only, and only to the very wealthy. So why are we talking about it? But it is something that has intrigued gastronomes and diners and leaders through history for over 3,600 years. That is the truffle. There's white truffles, there are black truffles, but the white truffle is the king of all truffles. And what is a truffle, really? A truffle is a tuber, and it's some people think, well, truffles are mushrooms. Well, yes, it's a fungi type of growth, but truffles are particular in that they look like tubers of, if you've planted any bulbs that have tubers, like they have corms on them, they look like that, and they grow at the base of trees, primarily oak trees, also elm and willow and chestnut. But the oak trees are the ones that are that produce the most white truffles. And they grow primarily in northern Italy and parts of France and Croatia. They have been found in some other areas as well. They look like dusty little tiny potatoes and kind of all bumpy. But they are usually eaten raw because they don't look like anything when you hold them. But if you cut them open and you smell the aroma, it is something you'll never forget. It is unbelievable. Now some people aren't real fond of it, and it's been called moldy and sort of like locker room smell and very much of the earth. But it is a very distinctive odor for sure, and it is a very earthy quality. And often you'll find it offered in restaurants, shaved over pasta or mixed in with mashed potatoes. Again, something very earthy and really plain tasting, so that the aroma of the truffle comes out. And I said very expensive too. Supply and demand. There just aren't that many truffles, and they're very hard to find. If you were traveling in northern Italy and saw a man walking with a stick in a bag and a dog on a leash or a pig on a leash heading towards the deep woods, my recommendation would be to follow him, because he's probably hunting for truffles. And the location of truffles by these foragers are really closely guarded secrets, and they change often because of nature and because of rains and erosion washing the spores down. And they have a symbiotic relationship with these trees that they grow under, the roots of the trees. They feed off the roots and absorb their water through the roots, and they give, I guess, something back to the roots of the trees. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But the environments where they need the cold and rainy environments, And the bumpiness on the truffles really is a matter of, some truffles come out smooth, and that's if the ground hasn't really been tilled or compacted so much that they were able to grow freely. And the more compact the earth, the bumpier the truffle, obviously, because they have to push through a little harder. The scientific name of the white truffle is the Tuber magnatum pico. And where did it get its name, pico? Pico, it actually was called a tartufo, or a truffle, or a trifoli, back in history for a long time. And it wasn't until really the late 1700s that a physician from Turin and a naturalist gave it its scientific name. And the scientist's name was Vittorio Pico, hence the name, Tuber magnatum pico, magnatum being large. And they supposedly, truffles have been known and eaten for over 3,600 years. That's how some sources document it. But we know from documentation, and that comes from the ancient writings of, we have writings from Plato and Juvenal and Cicero even, but it's well documented for well over 1,000 years, the culinary use of truffles and the hunting of them. And certainly black truffles are used. Black truffles are, they're good, excellent, and they grow in different seasons. We're going to learn a lot more about the varieties of truffles from a person in the business later in the show. But there are black truffles, which are a little more reasonable, and summer truffles, black winter truffles, and there are desert truffles, believe it or not, and those that grow in the desert. And that's actually where a lot of early documentation comes from, were truffles that grew in the desert. The price of the truffle was, I don't know how they set that, and we're going to find that out too from the person in the truffle business. But today they fetch probably around $2,000 a pound, if you can imagine that. But then again, the good news is a little truffle goes a long way. You can take a little piece of truffle and shave it over six bowls of pasta, and you don't need a whole lot to really flavor it. But if any of you have had the luxury of being able to try a truffle tasting in a restaurant, or opt for around this time of year, you'll see on a restaurant menu, you'll see perhaps a dish of pasta with butter and cheese, and it will have the truffle option. And the truffle option can easily cost you an additional $100 per person on the menu. So it is indeed a luxury. And at this time of year, they're also, the markets are I think they probably keep them in locked cages. I don't know. I'm going to find out more about that. And I said the location are closely guarded secrets. Even the selling of the truffles in the market is a really secretive, closely held account. They're not really in open market so much, but the suppliers go around to homes, the businesses, and sell them privately. And the truffle is, it is so guarded that I guess the price, even though the price is high, you'd think that there would be less of a demand. But it's somehow, you dangle that golden carrot above people's noses, and they want it all the more. So the demand has even gone up higher, and it really has outstripped the harvest often. So the price, then that drives the price up even higher. I had an interesting experience. I had an opportunity to purchase a small, about a 2 ounce truffle, about 2 to 3 ounces. On one of my travels in Italy, I was in the Emilia Romagna area in the late 90s, and I said, "Oh, it's great! It's truffle season, and the white truffles from Alba." Alba is the city and the area in the Piedmonte region of Italy where the finest truffles come from, and actually one of the few places where the white truffles are found. But of course, then they travel down to the other markets. So I was in Bologna at a large market, and they had white truffles. I wasn't really sure on gauging the quality that much, but I was armed with Marcella Hazan's instructions for a nice, firm, dry on the outside truffle. And, you know, they squeeze it so it shouldn't be spongy and it should be compact and heavy. So this woman was offering truffles, and I saw people buying from her. And I thought, my son at the time was a budding chef. I said, oh, what a great gift to take home to him. So I counted up my money, and they had a nice-sized truffle that was about, as I say, 2.5 ounces. And I got what I thought was an incredible price. I paid about $116 for it, for this little tiny nugget. And I still had 10 days worth of the trip to go through that I had to store this truffle. And I had read all the sources about how you were supposed to store it. So I wrapped it in a paper towel and I put it in aluminum foil and kept it in my hotel room. And one hotel room had a refrigerator, so I kept it in there. The entire room began to smell like a truffle. I mean, yeah, to the point where it was hard to take. It was pretty stinky. I wanted to eat it, of course, but I wanted to take it home as a gift as well. So then, well, maybe I should put it in a jar and seal it so it won't stink up the whole hotel. And I tried many different forms, and some sources say keep it in rice, and so I tried doing that for a couple of days, and I could see that this truffle was starting to deteriorate. So obviously I was doing something wrong, or I got a bad product. And well, by the time I got home, got it through customs, snuck it through customs, by the time I got home and presented it as a gift, it was pretty much demolished. It had gotten spongy and kind of rotten inside, so there was my lesson in how not to buy and how not to store a truffle. And hopefully we'll learn in the second half of the show the best way to do that. But speaking of the smells, there's a very reputable mushroom and truffle company called Urbani. And Urbani sells really quality products. And they have been brought to, I don't know if there's a lawsuit yet, but they have just gotten in battles. They moved into a new space on the Upper West Side in New York City on West End Avenue. And there are apartment dwellers upstairs in the building all the way up on the 21st floor. Now, when I said this truffle started to stink up my hotel room, these people are complaining that their apartments all the way up on the 21st floor are reeking of truffles. Because Urbani also does a lot of work with extracting the truffle essences and making truffle oils. And they want them to install this expensive exhaust equipment, which they had initially. But I guess the odor is so prevalent and so strong that they're claiming that their resale value of their apartments is being hurt because they stink like truffles. That's a pretty expensive perfume. I don't know how much they should complain, but Urbani is a reputable company. I'm sure that they will rectify the situation. In fact, and the other reason I mention them is because people say, well, how can I ever taste truffles? I can't afford to buy, you know, that expensive a piece, you know, of a truffle. I can't, you know, dish out $300, $400 for just this little tiny nugget for one meal. Well, scientists and companies have managed to put shavings into the oil and infuse the oil with the essence of and the flavors of the truffle. Now, Urbani is one of the reputable companies that do this, and it is truffle that you are tasting in the oil. There are a lot of other products out there that will call themselves truffle oil, but scientists have replicated the scent of the truffle, and it's not really the true truffle. So it's just a synthetic flavor that is put into the oils. So you always want to check the product and make sure that it is made from true truffles. So this is a little bit of a quick background on truffles, and on our website, probably later in the day, if not now, we will post some pictures of the white truffles. So those of you who have never had an opportunity to see them, you can see them. But you can go to gourmet markets, and they usually advertise around this time of year. The white truffle season is from October through December, and gourmet markets who carry the truffles will advertise them. And you can see them in their cases, their chilled cases. By the specialty foods, and you can get a look at them. But we will post a picture on our website as well. So we're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, We will be talking to someone who knows a lot about truffles from a truffle company. Stay tuned. We're back talking about truffles today. And with us today, we have the national sales person from the Sabatino Tartufi Company, who Vincent Janson, who together with Federico Balestra, the president of the company, run a very exclusive sales in truffles. And Vincent, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Linda.
Good afternoon,
nice,
Vincent.
Nice to speak to you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I have some questions for you. I gave a general brief background to our listeners about truffles, and supposedly they have been around. The company, the Sabatino Tartufi Company, has been around for over 100 years. Is that correct?
It's been around since the early century, 1911.
So
we are close to 100 years anniversary, actually.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
But the truffle has been around, we know, for thousands of years.
For thousands of years, indeed. Correct, yes.
We're talking, and I was talking specifically about the white truffle, because being the white, some people refer to it as white diamonds, because indeed it is as expensive as a diamond, right? Practically.
Yes, it can be, definitely.
Right. And I know there are different seasons depending on the weather, you know, a lot of rain or too dry, and is 2010 a good year for truffles?
Well, we're rather starting on a good note. We still at the very beginning of the season, and usually the white truffle season, which we are now, start just about late September, early October. Officially, it's October 1st, actually, and it goes out through New Year's Eve, Christmas season, pretty much. So it lasts about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those good harvest is based upon the fact that we get some good rain and good weather in the early spring. So May, June, if it's a nice rainy season, that usually translates in a decent white truffle season. And so far, so good. I mean, it's not going to be the season of the decade, but it's going to be a decent season.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a pretty hot summer, so it was hot and dry.
We had rain in spring, too.
Oh, okay. Sabatino Tartufi now has American branches of the company. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And that is the branch that we run here. We have been establishing our company about just 10 years ago now, 11 years ago, and we've been focusing mostly the food service industry. But the last 3-4 years, we have been expanding a lot into the different retail outlets throughout the country.
And I know there's a website. I visited the website. And can people actually buy online from your company?
Definitely, the website is totally open to a private consumer, maybe for fresh truffle as well, you know, the different byproduct that we package.
Mm-hmm.
That could be truffle oil, truffle salt, truffle onion, and so forth.
And your truffle oil, I was talking about Urbani's truffle oil, but your truffle oil, too, is made from real truffles and not a synthesized
flavoring. That's correct. That's very correct. So as a matter of fact, our truffle oil flavor, oftentimes, people describe it as a mild product, nice, smooth, round into the palate product, because we do not use a synthetic aroma flavor in our product.
Nice little addition to mashed potatoes. Yes.
All right. Definitely. Or risotto. Definitely.
Or risotto. Definitely.
Or risotto.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it in my
Absolutely.
Risotto. Yes.
Well, I said I was talking about white truffles, but maybe you could explain to us a little bit about the difference between the truffles, the major types of truffles.
Sure, there's really three main kind of, you know, of truffle that have a culinary interest, and that will be the white Alba truffle, white truffle, which is the season right now. Its main culinary characteristic is usually you do not want to cook the white truffle because it will kill the flavor, the aroma to it. Mm-hmm. So you want to slice it at the very last minute. You almost want to slice it when the risotto or the pasta is in your plate already. So it kind of like, you know, finishes up, it warms up with your dish. But if you slice it while it's still on the stove, while you're still cooking on the stove, you will want to cook it maybe just like 20-30 seconds. So the aroma and the fragrance to it has a lot of garlicky notes, shallots notes, you know, Parmesan, so kind of like a very, you know, as spice to it, flavor to it, very, very intense aroma, very strong aroma. Like a little 1 ounce truffle will flavor the whole first floor of the house.
That's, I mean, that's right.
Very, very fragrant.
Yeah.
So those are the main characteristics. So you do not want to overcook a white truffle.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the black winter truffle, and that refers to black diamond truffle. And that starts usually late November throughout late February, early March. And the characteristics of the black winter, first of all, you cook with it. You want to cook the
truffle. Oh, you do. You want to cook it. Okay.
You know, you want.
Now, is that called the Perigord, often called the Perigord?
Also, that's correct. Also, the white is also very much often referred to the white Alba, and the black winter truffle will be referred to the Perigord truffle.
Okay.
The flavor characteristic will be something that is a bit more soilier, has some earthy flavor, but it also has hint of cocoa, mint, licorice. So it varies throughout the season. Same thing for the white. You know, flavor can vary throughout the season, but those will be the main characteristic. And they vary throughout the season based on where they are found, the type of environment they grow up, the type of tree they grow up in symbiosis with, and the time in the season. Mm-hmm. The white Alba are probably best sometime in November. Black winter are best mid-January, early February.
Mm-hmm.
Or black winter, very earthy, musky flavor to it, and you want to cook with them. So you want to slightly cook them, and so they go all the way through March. And then summertime is also available truffle, and those are the most abundant truffles. So they happen to be also the least expensive, and they are, you know, kind of light, nice mushroomy. And being the least expensive, it's oftentimes people like to use those because it's a good introductory for people who never get a chance to experience truffle, to start cooking with truffle.
That's right. That's right.
So those will be the three main type of truffle that have a culinary interest.
Now, I've heard that the black truffles can be cultivated, but the white truffles cannot. Tell me what's myth and what's fact.
That's very correct, actually. White truffle, they have tried to mycorrhize trees and cultivate them and without success. However, black winter truffle, it's been successfully done in Spain, France, and Italy mostly. Basically, vast land, and they plant them usually with hazelnut or oak tree. Those hazelnut or oak tree have been mycorrhized. The root of the trees has been mycorrhized with pieces of truffles, microscopic pieces of truffle.
Yeah, they sell the piece of root and all. If someone wants to buy them, I know they've packaged up the root of the tree along with all these spores in the root, right? And
That's correct. You will buy. As an infant stage, I guess, you know, very, very small size, and then you plant them, plant the seeds, plant them, and then it usually takes anywhere from 7-8 years up to 12 years to start finding truffle. It's cultivated, but it's still a very artisanal, very not totally controlled cultivation. A lot of it depends on the watering of the land, on the fact that you're going to be using good dogs, on the fact that the weather is going to be it's going to be good. So it's still there's a lot of, even though it's cultivated, there's still a lot of uncertainty in the fact right. that you might be able to harvest truffles.
Well, now you mentioned good dogs. I mean, truffles are still foraged by dogs, right?
They have to. I mean, it's a summer truffle. At time they can be. They grow up very close to the surface, so they can, you know, skip the usage of dogs. But black winter and white truffles, they are foraged by dogs.
And they grow somewhere, how far below the surface are they? Do they grow?
It can be anywhere from a couple of inch downward, 10, 15, 20 inches. 20 inches.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So obviously, the further under the soil, the more difficult it is for the dog to smell them, to scent mm-hmm. them.
Well, now, when a company is that deals in the vast quantities that you do, do you hire your own foragers, or do you have suppliers that come to you? How do you get your
both? You never have enough forager, because forager can only work within a certain area.
Mm.
And, you know, because of the nature of truffle, there could be certain, you know, areas that are good at certain time and might not be good at other times throughout the same season. So you need to have forager working for you in a very wide array, a very large territory. So that's for the white, for instance, it goes from southern Italy upwards northern Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have obviously a forager that works for you, but you do hire also brokers that go work for you and go out on the field and look for forager and to purchase truffle from those guys.
Yes, and I've heard it can be a very dangerously secretive market as well.
Well, secretive to some extent, dangerously to some extent. I mean, it's not like the stock market where everything is on a computer, everything is on paper, sort of speak, but it, mm-hmm. you know, it's very similar to a commodity trade. I mean, there's big demand out there. People are willing to spend money. The foragers are going to raise their price,
right.
And so forth. I mean, the dangerous part, I think that's a bit of a myth from, you know, dating maybe from the 50s and 60s. Now things have gotten a little bit more under control. Things are regulated. There's an official season where you can, you know, write invoice and things like that. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's jealousy between forager and this and that. I haven't personally experienced that, the danger part of the business yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure there's some myth around the truffle, you know, due to mostly to the fact that, you know, it's still, you know, a secretive, you know, business in the sense that if it's a forager who knows of a good area and he has a very good dog, he doesn't want to divulge that area to, you know, to some of the other foragers and
that's right.
Make sure he take a good care of his dogs, and you know.
Well, now you know, with the popularity over the past, I'd say probably. Have you seen the popularity rise? Let's say in the past 20 years of the truffle.
Oh, definitely so. I mean, it's in Europe. Obviously, it's been used in French, Italian, and to some extent Spanish kitchen for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the culture, especially around the Christmas holiday, but throughout the season as well. But you know, in the States, being somehow a new market, or you know, oriented towards better ingredient and better savory product and you know, better ingredient basically. So especially the last 10 years, I think what opened up the market also is the Food Network and things like that. You know, the more radio show talking about truffle product, about better food product. I
mm-hmm.
should say more. You know, now you have, you know, several channels that are totally dedicated to food product. So those obviously do a great deal of helping company like us expose our product to the consumer, and also the fact that there's more and more better restaurants using those products, that ingredient as well, you know, that appeal to the, you know, to the consumer who is getting curious about using such a product at home in their own cooking.
That's right. So, well, now, is there any truth in some of the rumors I heard that the supply of the white truffle is dwindling? Global warming and fungicides, I mean, leaching into the soil.
Yeah, global warming is obviously not really helping, and also the fact that you know, development of, you know, what we're called, you know, third world country, and now they are technically now emerging country, also wanting to use those products, and you know, those kind of ingredients are not necessarily becoming part of their food culture, but they're becoming part of a culinary experience, that something that you want to experience from time to time that was not existing before it was really, focused mostly in Europe. Now it's developed in the States in the last 20 years, and maybe now it's Asia, the Asian market, very much front of truffle product.
Yes, in fact, I heard of a big sale in Hong Kong recently, right, of a large
truffle. Yeah, right, yeah, that was last year. It was a charity auction, actually. Uh-huh. It happens every year, and it's usually sometime around December. So the fact that on one hand you have more people wanting to experience truffle, on the other hand, climate and whatnot, happening, climate change and, things switching around, season getting off and things like that. So there's definitely a lot less available than at the beginning of the century.
Right.
There's definitely a lot less available than the beginning of the century.
And you mentioned likening it to a commodity on the stock market. And indeed, it is. I mean, it is a traded commodity in the sense. I mean, the prices, and it fetches quite a price. What's the price this year, approximate price this year per ounce, let's say, because of the consumer?
Approximate price this year per ounce, consumer goes to local retail store, pay anywhere from 160, 150, 160 an ounce, upward 240, 250 per ounce.
So we're talking $2,000 a pound,
$2,500 a pound, upwards 32, 34 right now, and usually, by historically speaking, as you get closer to Christmas and New Year's Eve, price tend to rise somehow.
That's right. And the
surprisingly.
Average, yeah, right. And the average size of a truffle?
It can be anywhere from half ounce, 15 grams, a walnut size, and it could be upwards. Largest truffle ever found was pineapple size, but that's obviously extremely unusual.
Yeah.
But usually the largest size will be, like a large tennis ball, golf ball size. That will be considered a rather large white truffle.
Yeah. What's the biggest one you've ever seen?
A pound and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple of two baseball size together, and then 2.5.
Oh, that must
pretty be large size.
I mean, that must be really exciting when you get a product that big, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've had an unfortunate experience. I was telling the listeners earlier in storing a truffle. What is the best, if someone is fortunate enough to be able to buy a truffle, what's the best way for them to be stored? Obviously, you want to eat them right away, but let's say you can't. You eat them right away, or you're saving them for something. What's the best way to store a truffle?
Sure. So ideally, you want to store it as less as possible.
Right.
I mean, once you receive it from, maybe a gift or you purchase it yourself, you want to try to use it within a couple of days. But wrap it up in bounty paper, towel paper.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave it on top of a bed of rice. I will not dig it inside of the bed of rice because the bed of rice will absorb the humidity and will dry out the truffle rather quickly.
Well, at least you'll have good risotto, right?
That's right. But just wrap it up in, maybe you want to put your risotto, your canary rice on a Tupperware and you will wrap up your white truffle. Put it, leave it to rest on top of the risotto up until you're ready to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And check it every day. Make sure there's no soft, moist spot developing. And if need be, you brush them lightly. You just trim it off. It starts to get a little bit of a soft spot, kind of like an avocado. Sometimes you get those dark spots around, and you just want to slightly trim it if it gets a bit too soft, too moist.
Mm-hmm. So it should not be refrigerated then?
It should be refrigerated.
It should be
refrigerated.
Okay, it should.
Yeah.
All right, good.
It should be. Not in the freezer, though, but it should be refrigerated.
But no more. You don't want any moisture to get to it, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
You want to try to keep it as dry as possible.
Well, if I have the opportunity to buy a truffle again, I will take better care and not. Well, also, what I'll do is just take it home and use it and eat it right away. That's what I'll do. Yeah. But I just love when they, you said they should be shaved at the last moment. I have had the luxury of being served fresh shaved truffles in a restaurant, and they bring that box around at the table and open it up, and whew, that wafting of the truffle scent is just fantastic. Just as they shave it, right under your nose,
uh-huh.
It's just, there's nothing that can compare.
I guess. Talking about it, you're getting into it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Vincent, thank you so much for joining us and answering so many of the questions that we have. And I know it's not an everyman's topic, not available to everybody, but you know, we like to hear about the luxury items. That's what makes life exciting, right?
Exactly, Anne. It was a pleasure being with you today.
Yeah, this is Vincent Jean-Somme of Sabatino Tartuffe. And I want to thank all of you for listening to A Taste of the Past. Again, I'm Linda Palaccio, and this is the Heritage Radio Network.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.